first and what's last. We'll see which way it comes out, but it's on my heart to preach it tonight. I was in a meeting there, and a preacher that was preaching before me, I just looked down at this passage, and the Lord said, I want you to, in fact, the message this morning, he did that way, and I'm glad God knows what we need when we need it, amen. And so I want to preach from Matthew chapter 9 again, if you'll stand with us, and I want to pick up in verse 23, where we left off this morning, verse number 23. Notice with me, we talked about this woman with the issue of blood, but a different thought tonight, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 23. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand. And the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad in all that land. Father, I want to thank you tonight for all the singing and all the testimonies that have been given. Thank you for the opportunity to give and the offering again. Thank you for blessing our church. And Lord, we thank you for all the people, God. Lord, your people are the most precious people. And I pray, God, that you'll bless your people. Even tonight, help us in the Word of God. And may you get glory and honor. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I want you to notice in verse number 23, just a few thoughts here in this verse. Notice the master. The Bible says, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house. Now, anytime Jesus shows up, business is going to pick up. Amen. Things are going to change whenever the Lord shows up. And that's why we need God to show up in our life. We need him to show up in our homes. We need him to show up in our churches. Amen. And so he makes all the difference. His presence makes all the difference in the circumstances and the atmosphere. So we notice the master, Jesus, is now coming to the ruler's house. And we notice the man here. This is the ruler's house, certainly being that of Jairus. His daughter is now dead, and he has went searching for Jesus, and he is bringing Jesus to his house. You know, I think every man ought to bring Jesus home with him. Amen. Every man ought to bring Christ into his house on a daily basis, because there's always people and there's always situations in the home that you and I can do nothing about. As the men of our home, we have a responsibility to set the atmosphere. I'm talking about the spiritual atmosphere in our home. The men of the home ought to be the spiritual leaders of the home. That responsibility should never be laid on the back of a woman. Just as it is our responsibility to provide for our family financially, it is also our responsibility to provide for our family spiritually. Amen. And so there is the man, there is the master. And then we also notice the minstrels here in this text. The Bible said that when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels, these were the people that played the instruments, amen. In other words, they played flutes, and as you were coming into the house, they were the musicians. They are setting the atmosphere for what is taking place. Now, we know that Jairus' daughter is now dead, and so the atmosphere is an atmosphere of sorrow. It is an atmosphere of sadness, and they have been hired along with these mourners to come in and to just set the atmosphere. So they are the musicians in this text. And then there's the mourners. The Bible says, and the people making a noise. Amen. And we'll say more about that in just a moment. Then in verse 24, there's the maid. As Jesus says, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. Now this is Jairus' daughter, and she is dead physically, as we note in this text here. But I want you to notice something that I want to preach on concerning this passage of scripture. Now, everyone, I would say, in this text is real, almost. What I mean by that is certainly the master, we would say tonight, he is real in his person. Amen. Everything about Jesus is real. His character is real. His motive is real. His sincerity is real. There's nothing about Jesus that's fake. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, the master is real in his person. And then we
when I think about the man, Jairus, he is real in his sorrow. His sorrow is broken. His heart is shattered because his daughter is sick and now she is dead. And so his sorrow would be real. I would say the minstrels, those that are playing the music, their music is real. What they're doing is taking place is real. And then the maid, her death is real. The reality that she was once alive, but now she is dead. All of these things is real. All these individuals are real, except one group of people. And that's the mourners. Do you realize everybody in verse 22 is real? Except the people, the Bible says. Notice it said they were making what? A noise. Why would it say they were making a noise? I'll tell you why. Because that's all it was. It wasn't real tears. It wasn't real sorrow. It wasn't real brokenness. It was just noise. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject, on getting real with Jesus. Getting real with Jesus. Because everybody in this text is real. As I mentioned, the master's always real. Jairus is real in his sorrow. The maid is real in her death. The musicians are real in their music. Everybody's real except one group of people. And it's interesting because the Bible highlights two or three things about them. It highlights, you'll notice here in verse 23, their loudness, as the Bible says, and the people making a noise. Do you realize the people in verse number 22, verse 23, that is making, the people that are making the most noise are the people that's not real. You know, that's true in life sometimes. People that make the most noise in life, we think, well, man, that person's got to be real. You know, not everybody that makes the most noise is real. They're not real. Their loudness, and then it highlights their laughter. Look at verse number 24 again, and they, talking about the people that made noise, they laughed him to scorn. I mean, Jesus comes in and he said, she's not dead, she just sleepeth. And this crowd laughs him to scorn. I'm going to tell you why they laughed him to scorn. Because people who are fake and people who are not real and people that do not know Jesus, they don't know his word. They don't know his power. They don't know his presence. And when Jesus walked in, what the word of God meant nothing to them. What he said meant nothing to them. The power of God meant nothing to them. You see, these people were all about setting an atmosphere. They were all about acting. They were all about attention. They was all about people noticing what they were doing and hearing what they were saying. They were setting the mood, and all Jesus is doing in this text is he's tearing up their service. They're having a mourning service. They're having a sorrowing service. And when Jesus comes in, he disrupts their dead service. There's a lot of people in life, they don't want Jesus messing up their dead service. They'd rather have sorrow and mourning and fakeness and acting and attention than the presence and the power of God. And their laughter is known. They laughed him to scorn. That's a pretty serious accusation when you're laughing Jesus to scorn. They laughed him with sarcasm. They laughed him to mock him as if they knew more than Jesus knew. You know, religion doesn't like Christianity. And religion only knows sorrow. And religion only knows deadness. But religion knows nothing about the power of God and the word of God and life itself. Amen. These people that are not real, their loudness, it marks their laughter. And then it also marks their loss. Because if anybody loses in this text, it's not Jairus. It's not the daughter. It's this crowd right here. This is a crowd, and it is the only crowd in verse 23 that walks away with nothing. It's the crowd that is fake, the crowd that is not real. You know, if there's anything that God wants out of me and he wants out of you, he wants us to just be real. I think Brother Laddie said something to allude to that in his testimony, but I want to be real, don't you?
We're not perfect. We're not sinless. We can live a blameless life. The Bible says it would never ask us to be blameless if we couldn't be blameless. So we can live our life above reproach. But one of the things I love about this church is that there really is no big I's and little U's. Sometimes people will listen to the devil and think that. But I want to tell you, we all know this morning or this evening that we all have more problems than we know what to do with. And none of us, I think you agree with this. I'm not fussing. I think you agree with this. None of us have arrived, and we're not everything that we want to be for God and everything that we could be for God. There are sins of omission and commission that every one of us has to ask God to forgive us for each and every day of our life. And I tell you, I don't want to be in a place where I have to be fake. Amen. I don't want to be in a place where I got to have an image or try to live up to something. Can I get an amen right there? And preachers are probably as bad about it as anybody else. Some guys, they torment themselves trying to live up to some image or to some level that they think people, I'd just rather be real. Amen. I may not suit everybody's fancy. You may not suit everybody's fancy. But at the end of the day, I want to pillow my head. And listen, I may be a mess, but I tell you, I want to be a real mess. I don't want to wear a mask of religion. Amen. I just want to be real, and I want to be real with the Lord. Don't you? I'm talking about getting real with Jesus. You don't get anything from God when you try to put a mask on, when you try to be fake. I think that if there's ever been a society that has struggled with it, it's the society we're living in now. Regardless of age, it's not just young people, but it's middle-aged folks, and we live in a society that is so just veneer. It's just so fake superficial, just on the surface. Amen. But you and I, we're just made of the same stuff. Amen. And we all need help from God. Can we get an amen right there? And here's a man that needed help from God. Here's a girl that needed help from God. And here's some mourners that, whether they knew it or not, they're probably in worse shape than anybody, and they needed help from God. But Jesus is only going to help people who will get real with Him. He wants us to get real with Him. You have to learn to start living by His standard and quit trying to live by everybody else's standard. You'll drive yourself crazy trying to make everybody happy. Do you know that? I quit 10 years ago. I knew that'd go over like a lead balloon. I did. I just quit. You can't be all things to all people. Can I get an amen right there? You just have to serve God and do your best, and at the end of the day, realize that, you know, if you're disappointed in me, guess what? I'm in front of you in the line. I'm disappointed in myself. Amen. I'm just telling you that we're at our very best, we don't measure up. Am I the only one in the room that feels that way? I mean, listen, when it comes to serving God, there's only one person that's never let anybody down. There's only one person that never disappointed anybody. There's only one person that's ever done everything right. And guess what? The world criticized him and hated him too. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, Jesus is living proof that even if you can dot every I and cross every T, there's still going to be a crowd that's going to talk about you. There's still going to be a crowd that's going to say something about you. I'm just saying, at your best, you can't please everybody. If the Lord couldn't, we couldn't. But I want to be real. And when I come to this text tonight, here's what I notice, is that because that they were not real, they suffered great loss. You'll lose more trying to pretend than you will if you'll just be true. If you'll just be who you are. I've seen preachers try to act like other preachers, and we all know that that's not them. How many people have we seen try to act like Brother Sammy Allen? If there's anybody on earth that you would try to act like and think nobody would notice it, it should not. You should never try to be Brother Sammy. I've seen people try to talk like him. You have to. Try to act like him, shake their head like him. You can't. But there's only one Brother Sammy Allen, and he's in glory. And we could list go on and on and on, but sometimes we all note when people are not being real. Jesus knows it more than anybody, because Jesus knows our heart. And in this text, here is what they lost by not being real. Number one, I want you to see this. They lost a message. Verse 24 says, "And he said unto them." Jesus has a message for everyone. The message is about the daughter, but it will help everyone that receives it. Isn't that the way God's word is? God's word may be pointed directly at one person, but it will always help everybody. And here Jesus has a word. Here's the word. Give place. Make room. For the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. Now at this point, that would be a hard word to explain because physically she's dead. But Jesus cannot tell a lie. Isn't that right? He can only tell the truth. So what would not seem right to me, I mean, looking at her, she looked dead and she acted dead, and by the laws of nature she was dead, but the Lord can't lie. So if the message is she's not dead but she sleeps, guess what? Here's what that means. It means Jesus knows something I don't know. Amen. It means Jesus is about to do something that I cannot do. Don't miss the message just because you can't explain it. Don't miss the message just because you can't understand everything about it. I'm going to tell you, I can't explain everything in this book. There's a lot of things in this book I don't understand, but I'm not going to miss the message. Amen. I believe every jot, and I believe every tittle. I believe every chapter, and I believe every verse. I believe every story, and I believe every illustration. I believe it from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. If the Bible says it, I may not be able to explain it, but I'll tell you one thing, I do believe it. Amen. Because it is the word of God. Don't miss the message just because you can't explain all the details. Amen. There have been times when God would send a message that was almost hard to believe. But you know it was true because it was in this book. And when people are not real, here's what happens. They miss the message. They hear the same preaching that you hear. They sit in the same service that you sit in. But I'm telling you, how many times have we been in a service and God would move and a great message would be preached, and people walk out the door and not even hear it? There's a danger in that, you know. You know my voice. You know my mannerism, my delivery. Listen, you've probably heard my illustrations more times than most people have, and would not, and probably could tell some of these illustrations, and I might say, you already know the end of the story, and that's okay. But don't miss the message. Amen. Look beyond this old body of clay that you say and listen to the word of God, because anything I say is not going to help you, but the word of God's what will help you. The word of God, what you have to remember. And when God gives a man a message, you look beyond the messenger and you hear what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Don't clip your fingernails. Don't look at your phone. Don't count the ceiling tiles. Don't listen. Don't just sit through church. You hear what God has to say. Amen. I've seen people like this crowd. They just couldn't get real. Thought they had everybody fooled. And this tragedy is, you'd be sitting in the church, as a pastor, and God sent a preacher by this church, and he would preach a message. And as a pastor, I would know this, and I need every message that gets preached. But I know when they were preaching that message, a member would come to my mind, and I would say, Lord, speak to their heart. If you don't speak to their heart, they're going to be in a bad way. And I, shockingly sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, it's just like it went over their head. I think when people don't get real with Jesus, they miss the message. You know, as long as you are playing church and playing, being a Christian and playing, do all these things, you're not hearing what God has to say. This crowd was used to what they did. And can I tell you something? They were very good at what they did. You don't hire people to come in and weep and cry and mourn if they're not good at it. You know, I've told my wife, I said, now if nobody cries when I die, you find a crowd like this and go ahead and pay them. Some people are like, well, I don't want nobody crying at my, well, I want somebody to cry. Everybody don't have to cry. But Brother Danny, you'd hope somebody shed a tear and at least miss you a little bit, you know. But if you can't find anybody, just hire a mourner, amen. Get somebody to come in. But they were good at what they did. I mean, they could weep. They could wail. I'm telling you, they set the mood. They set the tone, but they weren't real. In church, you can learn how to testify. You can learn how to say things. You can learn how to sing a song. You can learn how to preach. But the Lord knows if you're real. You can sing like a mockingbird, but if it ain't in your heart, It won't have no touch on it. Man can preach and give an outline and have a delivery because he's heard other preachers, how they elevate their voice and how they use their, I mean, you can learn all that stuff. It's just learned knowledge is what I'm saying. And there's some men that they're no more called to preach than a billy goat, but yet they've been around it all their life, and they've heard it and they've seen it, and they know how it all works, and they put it all together, and they, boy, they can put on a good show. But that's all that is. Because it's not real. It don't have a touch. What I'm saying is, if you could ask one thing of the Lord, what would he require of us in every service we come? This is what it would be. He just wants us to be real. And he wants us to be real with him. He wants us to get real with him. Preacher, why is that important? Because if not, you lose. Here's what happens. You miss the message. I've told it before, but you'd be amazed sometimes after a good service what somebody would come and talk to you about that would be on their mind that had, I mean, have nothing to do. People get saved. People get right with God. And I'm convinced it's the pure devil. Things that would come up, and I just would stop sometimes and I would say, did you get anything out of what? Do you not see what just happened? Went over their head. You got to get real with God if you want that. You know, that Bible will speak to you every single day if you'll get real. It's not hard to be real. Bow your head and say, Lord, I'm going to read this morning. Would you speak to my heart? He'll never fail if you'll just be real. You miss the message. Secondly, they miss the master. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 24. They laughed him to scorn, but look at this. But when the people were put forth, he went in. Jesus did not go in until those people were put out. You know, they missed the message, but they missed the master. Jesus shows up. You would think that if they would be in awe of Jesus showing up. But they wanted to go through the routine. They wanted to go through the mechanics of what they had been doing. This is what they did. They, after all, this is what they were paid for. And they would rather collect their money. They would rather have their finances as to have Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus shows up, here's what his presence does. It reveals who's real and it reveals who's fake. And this crowd, when Jesus spoke the message, it's amazing how they stopped mourning, Brother Laddie, and all of a sudden they started laughing. I've wondered that. When I read that, I thought, how do you go from crying, amen, until all of a sudden now you're laughing somebody to scorn? I'll tell you how. It wasn't real. It was all a show. It was just an act. It was just a big put on. They were just putting on the dog, amen. And when Jesus showed up and talked about her not being dead and going to be alive, guess what that did? It cut into their pocketbook, amen. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that walk away from God in a heartbeat. I'm talking about preachers, so-called men of God. If you cut their paycheck and go find them some other way of living. This ain't a paycheck. Amen. This isn't a way of making money. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a call of God. And a real man of God will feel the urgency to preach whether there's a paycheck or whether there's not one. Amen. But to some men, it's just a profession in life is all it is. And they miss the most important person in this story is not the resurrected girl, but it is the master. They missed out on his presence. They missed out on his power. I'm going to tell you, church is nothing more than just a gathering unless he shows up. But if he shows up, isn't that what we look for every time we come? We want him to show up. We don't care if he shows up in the choir. We want him to be here for all of it. I'm telling you, if God gets in a song and he's moving in the choir, that's what we came for. If he gets in the testimonies and he's blessing and he's touching, that's what we came for. If he gets in the message, but we're looking for a person. We're looking for the person. We're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to go to church and go through the mechanics. I don't want to go to church and just get through. Amen. I'm telling you, I want to meet with a master and listen. And so-and-so may not be here, and so-and-so may not be here, but there's one presence we must have every time we come to church. We need the master, don't we? That's what I love about this church. It's his presence. I think we have a nice building. I think we have, God has been good to us. And sometimes, I remember years ago before we filled that hole in. Sometimes people would visit and they say, man, y'all are back here. Well, y'all are back here. Kindly offend me a little bit. They say, man, that's a big old hole down there. Y'all on that hole? Yeah, I kind of want to give them sister papers to go somewhere else. If you don't like our hole, God gave us that hole. We've been filling that hole in for years. Or I've had them say, when they come in and say, man, that's a big old dirt bank. I know we're not on Main Street. Amen? But can I tell you, I've been on Main Street. I've been on Main Street in some places where they had everything. And there's some good churches on Main Street. But I've been on some Main Streets where they had the nicest facilities. And, oh, they had everything. They had the neon sign. And it was the best location in town. But they missed the one thing. I think I'll just take a little old church on the side of the road somewheres in the middle of nowheres. Maybe down between a hole and a dirt bank. But if the high winds of heaven will just pass by, I just want to be where the master is. Amen. We went to church the other day, and GPS said, get off here, and I said, man, don't go that way. I climbed that mountain a few years ago, and when I got on the other side, you remember that old song, climbing the rough side of the mountain? Well, that's not a spiritual song. That's talking about a place in Marion, North Carolina. Amen. And it was snowing. And I told him, well, I said, you need to pray. I mean, I'm talking about week. I said, Lord, if you let me get off this mountain, I'll never come back here again. Never again. I said, let's go. We went up the road. We come through this other way. Little country church up on the mountain. And I'll tell you something. God's presence was there. Nice building. Nice facilities. Good pastor. Never been there before. Walked in there. Just a small crowd. Good crowd, a small crowd. God's got people everywhere. And I felt the presence, the first song, I felt the presence of God. And I'm telling you, it doesn't really matter where God puts a steeple in a church up. Sometimes it's on Main Street. Sometimes it's in a holler. Sometimes it's a big old nice church. And sometimes I think about a little church right now in my mind. It's called Ridgecrest Baptist Church. And it is literally, Brother Laddie, you've been there, that church up in Tennessee. And it is literally hanging on the side of a ridge. Amen. And when you walk in the church, they got a pulpit right in the middle. Or that's where all pulpits, you know, are. But this pulpit in the middle, little church. And when you walk in a church, they got a big old plaque right there mounted on the pulpit that says, if it ain't King James, it ain't Bible. First time I went in that church, I said, Brother Jason, I'm in a good place. Amen. I'm telling you, the pastor got up and said, well, I hope God shows up. And they just stood around for a minute and cried and squalled, and the presence of God just showed up. I said, man, I'm telling you, hanging off the side of a ridge, God put a little honey barrel right here. I'm telling you, it's not about the plaster and the pews. It's not about the carpet and the chandeliers. It's about whether or not the master shows up. And I don't want to miss it. Hallelujah. I don't want to miss it, do you? And some people, because they're not real, they can step through them same services and they miss out on the message, they miss out on the master, and then they missed out on the miracle. Because the Bible says in verse 25 that he took her by the hand and the maid arose. They weren't present. They were on the outside when Jesus resurrected this girl. He didn't go in until they went out. I don't like for anybody to leave church. I think everybody ought to go to church. But I'll tell you, and this is only God's business, because it was Jesus that didn't go in until they went out. But it's a sad commentary, but this is true. There's been times, boy, it's sad when people leave a church, isn't it? Sad when they get out there in the world. It's sad when people quit on God. But it's really sad when they leave and a little touch of revival comes into church. You know that's true. That's not with every person that leaves, by the way. And it's not for me to decide, that's his business. But there has been times when people left and we did everything we could to keep them. But when they left, he showed up. And I don't know if he showed up because they were hindering, or I don't know if he showed up just to remind us that they might have left, but I've not left. They might have walked out, but I've not walked out. Well, I'm glad this doesn't depend on me and doesn't depend on you. I'm glad that, thank God, church is not about me being here or you being here. But I tell you, listen, others may quit and others may go somewhere else. You say, what are you going to do if so-and-so leaves? We just going to go back and have church next Sunday like we did this Sunday. What are you going to do if so-and-so quits or dies? We're going to go and serve God anyway, because the same presence that was here in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, guess what? He's still here in 2025, all these years later. I'm telling you, you got to be real or you'll miss out on the miracles that take place. You know, God wants to do miracles, and he might want to do a miracle in your life, but he can't do anything in your life if you're fake, if you're not real. They had to stand on the outside while Jesus performed a resurrection on the inside. Because they wouldn't get, all they had to do was say, Lord, wait, Lord, don't put us out. We'll get real with you. No, that wasn't what they did. Oh, listen, I know I'm preaching to somebody tonight. You need to get real with God. You need to get real with the Lord. You say, I don't even know how to do that, preacher. Well, it starts by being honest with your own self, who you are and where you're at. You're going to have to admit where you're at. You have to come clean with God. It starts with being honest with the people around you and being true. And if you'll be real, God will help you. Don't miss out on the miracle. And then I want to say, because they were not real, they missed out on the moment. Look at the last verse. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that country. You see, here's the truth of our text. Because these people would not get real with Jesus, they missed out on the message. Because they never really heard it. They missed out on the master because they did not know him. They missed out on the miracle because they did not see it. And they missed out on the moment because they could not tell it. Can you imagine verse 25, the fame hereof went abroad in all that land. People started talking. Did you hear Jairus' daughter's alive? What? She's alive. That woman that touched that man that had the issue of blood that got healed. Oh, yeah, I just heard about that. Well, he was on his way to Jairus' house, and she was already dead. And he went inside, and he took her by the hand, and he said something to her. This crowd could not tell what Jesus said to her. Only thing they could tell was what somebody had told them. You see, they missed out on the moment. They didn't see and witness and know anything any more than somebody that had heard all the way on the other side of town. They were so close to it, but because they weren't real, they didn't witness any of it. I can see somebody saying, oh, well, y'all are the mourners. Y'all was hired to go in. You must have seen what Jesus did. You were there. You was weeping. You was mourning over her. You must have seen Jesus resurrect her. What did he say to her? They would have to say, well, we wasn't inside when that happened. Oh, we were there. We saw him come, and he said she wasn't dead, that she was only sleeping. Well, why wasn't you inside? Well, we thought that was, we just laughed him to scorn. And so he asked us to step outside, because God will not work in unbelief. And so they stepped outside not knowing what was going to happen. And when he went inside, so close, you hear me tonight. So close to the word and the power of God, but so far away because they weren't real. They were just fake. I'd hate to be in a good church all my life and be fake. I'd hate to have godly parents and raised in a good home and sat under good Bible preaching, know all the lingo and know all the ways. It'd never be real. You know, all they could do was tell what they heard. Well, anybody could do that. But had they got real with you? And I think that's what happens to some people. They grow up, or maybe they don't grow up in church. Maybe they got in church at some point, but they've been in church long enough to be around it, but never know it. And all they can do is just tell what other people tell. They have no personal experiences of their own. They've not seen God answer any prayers in their own life. They just know what other people are saying about Jesus. You know, tonight, you might be a total mess. But I wonder tonight, do you have personal experiences with the Lord? You might be an utter failure, but have you ever seen the Lord answer one of your prayers? I have. Can you say that tonight? I have. Haven't you seen Him do it? Oh, I tell you, a lot of times the devil say, "Oh, you're just a mess. You're just a failure." Oh, that's true tonight. But I'm His failure. I'm His mess. And one of these days, He's going to straighten His mess out. Hallelujah. I won't be a mess one of these days. I'm a failure today, but thank God there is coming a brighter day. But I won't be a failure no more. I'll never have to say I'm sorry anymore. Thank God I'll never have to hang my head anymore and say, "Lord, forgive me." Thank God. I'll tell you what, revival don't fix down here. The rapture's going to take care of over yonder. Amen. Oh, I may have a lot of faults and I may have a lot of failures, but thank God I can raise my hand with that Bible in it and say, by the grace of God and only by the grace of God, at least I'm real. Hallelujah. Years ago, a man and his wife and kids came to this church. And they was really, and they're still in church today. A nice family, really nice family. And everything, I mean, just to the T, you know what I'm saying? And they came in, and after a little time went by, I was fellowshipping with him one day. And I said this to him. I called his name and I said, "Listen, I said, you can just take a deep breath. I said, you can just drop the image. I said, you can just be real here. I said, you don't have to put on an image." And that's the way this church is. Is that right? I don't care if you're white collar, blue collar. As long as you work, somebody say amen. It doesn't make no difference here. It doesn't make no difference in this church. I mean, we have convictions and we have standards and we believe every single one of them, don't we? But I'm glad tonight that a banker or a beggar can walk through the doors of this church. And they're going to hear the same message. And they're going to hear the same songs. And you know, God will help you if you just be real. And I want to ask you this question as they come get us a song ready. It's a simple question. When it comes to the Lord, are you real tonight? Are you real? Are you fake when it comes to religion and serving the Lord? Are you real? Be real. He knows tonight if you're real. If you're putting on a show tonight, then it's time you just end that show. Maybe you need to be saved. You ought to get real with the Lord in that. Well, Brother Gravel, if I come down here and I get, what is people going to think? They're not going to think anything but good if you're real. We would rather you get saved tonight and be real as to go to hell fake. Amen? We don't care who you are, where you're at. You know, tonight, if you're not right with God, then you ought to just come down this altar and get right with God. Nobody's going to put you on nobody's going to, you know, interrogate you tonight. Y'all just get right with God. Get real. Tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just want to be real tonight." Getting real with Jesus. Let's stand as we get ready to sing this song.